We're back with more Take Two on 89.3 KPCC and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Austin Cross in for A. Martinez. Baking bread, starting a garden, sewing by hand, all kinds of do-it-yourself hobbies have boomed during the pandemic. I mean, my wife and I, we made kombucha, I started smoking meat. It's a really interesting time. Well, a pair of researchers found these aren't just tasks to fill the time during lockdown. It's actually the increased threat of death that's triggering behavior that's deeply ingrained in all of us. Behavior that more closely resembles how humans survive in small, isolated villages.
Living and working in the Maya village of Nabanchuk in Chiapas really inspired the research.
That's Patricia Greenfield, a distinguished professor of psychology at UCLA. She was there in 1969 and told us that
in that village, lifespans were very short. Death was very salient. That dangerous life was connected to growing your own food, to making your own clothing, building your own houses.
And that survival instinct to hunker down in the face of danger and provide for oneself is what she saw emerge once the pandemic hit.
We were all isolated in small spaces. I saw these same behaviors popping up in me and my family, and even the block where I live.
Enter Greenfield's grandson. Yeah, grandson, Noah Evers. He decided to join her in exploring this phenomenon after kind of accidentally stumbling onto it while he was looking for some ideas for his social psychology final at Harvard.
I went to her and asked her if she knew any theories, and she, in fact, said, yes, do you want to check out my theory? She had a theory of social change, cultural evolution, and human development. And so I looked into it. I really liked it. I was still a little skeptical of it, so I wanted to test it out. And then I realized that there's tons of natural language flowing through the internet constantly. And so I thought, well, what if you could measure these human interactions at a massive scale and look at what exactly people were talking about? And I really had enjoyed working with my grandmother's theory. And if it was true, I saw it as kind of the mechanism for how humans survive dangerous times.
Patricia, what have you found about how families are functioning now in the pandemic?
During the pandemic, families who are living in the same household are much closer. We found that there's greater appreciation of family and there's greater family interdependence. Families are eating together more. They're talking to each other more than before the pandemic. Children in the households are helping more. That is to say, parents are expecting more help from their children. So socialization has changed. And in fact, I've observed personally that children are responding by actually helping more with things like cooking and cleaning.
From your standpoint as a psychologist, I mean, why does our behavior revert to this earlier time? It almost sounds to me like we're hardwired in a way.
In a sense, that's true. We're hardwired to respond to certain conditions. When death, when mortality seems very real, those are the conditions under which these responses seem to happen. And I think the fact that it happened so quickly, in the study I did with Noah, we compared 70 days online after Trump's emergency declaration with the frequency of the same word 70 days before. So that was very fast. In our survey study, we put the surveys up in two states exactly 34 days after the governor in that particular state had done his or her emergency declaration. So changes there had occurred in the first month.
I think it's so interesting that you can track these social patterns just by using social media and tracking what people are saying on the internet. Noah, what kind of tools were required to get that data?
The two main tools we used were analyzing Google Trends, which is a free tool that Google offers to track what people are searching. And then we used another tool that uses artificial intelligence and a lot of web scraping and sophisticated technology to be able to look through Twitter, look through, if I remember right, it was hundreds of millions of forums and blogs. Like, we used over 500 million word and phrase mentions in our analysis.
We're talking with UCLA psychology professor Patricia Greenfield and her research partner and grandson, Noah Evers. I guess I'm kind of curious in your opinion, Patricia, because I look at the way that we live our lives in this city, in America, and there are a lot of aspects of American culture that aren't really designed to make you happy. They're designed to keep you working. They keep you tired. People work long hours. They hardly get to see their families. And I'm wondering, is there anything gained in this time of the pandemic with all this time that people are spending with their families?
I really feel that what we have found is the silver lining of the COVID tragedy. And I felt for a long time, having spent so much time in collectivistic community and family-oriented cultures in West Africa, in the Maya village in Chiapas, that we had gone too much in the other direction in response to our technology, in response to our material resources, in response to our higher levels of education. I think this has been a corrective for the people who could work at home. And I think that's a very important caveat, because it's been a privilege, really, to have this silver lining. And not everybody has been able to do this. And I very much hope that values like sacrifice and helping will continue to some extent, and that people will be able to spend more time with their families.
Well, Noah, how has this pandemic changed your relationship with your grandmother and how you collaborated on the study?
I thought collaborating with my grandmother was a very special experience. Before, we had kind of blindly loved each other, as family members do. But through this experience, I got to not only blindly love my grandmother, but also respect her as an academic peer. I got to get to know her in her intellectual capacity. And the study was very intense. We both pulled several all-nighters over the course of the project. And I really don't know many 80-year-olds who are pulling all-nighters. I remember one time, it was the last night before we had to submit the revisions for the study, and it was midnight, and I was bringing her my first coffee of the night. I brought her many more coffees after that. We were up until 10 or 11 the next morning. We pushed our minds to the limit. We were discussing into the early morning, arguing back and forth over changes, making really good progress. It was super painful. It hurt my brain so much. But the next morning, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know, probably 20 years from now, I'll look back on that. I'll think, what an incredible experience.
I love that. Well, that's Noah Evers and his grandmother, UCLA psychology professor Patricia Greenfield, with us talking about their research. Thank you both so much for making the time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.